Thank you, worship team. Yesterday I talked to Pastor Bill and he prayed for me over the phone, and it was very kind of him. It's an honor to represent our senior pastor. And 25 years ago this month, our church called Pastor Bill to be the senior pastor of this church. Let's celebrate together. How healthy it has been for our church to have that kind of longevity and quality of a senior pastor couple and our associates. And we're deeply grateful for them all. I remember when my mom and dad applied to become members here, Pastor Bill said, "You've just made a happy pastor happier." And it's just, that's the kind of spirit that they have. And last October, in our bi-monthly Wood Village Voice, Pastor Dave Sucher, is he here today? Where is he? Oh, you're on the opposite side. I'm sorry. Or maybe you're normal now. I know that Pastor Dave has served at a sister church for 34 years, and all those 25 years plus the time that Pastor Bill was associate pastor here, they prayed together. And Pastor Dave wrote in our pastor appreciation month, "Pastors Bill's enthusiasm for the Lord is contagious. He obviously loves people and he loves God's word. We see that in his great sermons. He displays the fruit of the Spirit in his life, especially the last three: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He is a treasure, and his wife is a gem." So we're very grateful. And if God should prompt you, maybe get a card for them this week, because it actually was the second Sunday that he officially began. He candidated on the first Sunday of February 1995, and was elected by a 94.4% vote of this congregation. And it was all by secret ballot, so there was no coercion by anyone. Okay. Let's open in prayer. Holy Father, we do rejoice with those whom you have called to serve in the body of Christ, and that you have placed your Son as head of the church. May we always center our church upon the head, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you have given. And we thank you for the human instruments that you have also supplied to lead this church. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote, we believe, in approximately A.D. 61. He was incarcerated in Rome, and he had freedom to have people come and go. And we believe that Epaphras from Colossae was one who came to visit Paul in Rome. And we gather that from chapter 4, verse 12, and also this passage. So I'll begin with verse 1. Pastor Raymond did a tremendous job introducing this last week. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Isn't that wonderful? And it's come to us in a small town as well. Okay, continuing on. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow bondservant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us about your love in the Spirit, or generated by the blessed Holy Spirit. Pastor Raymond, as I mentioned, introduced Colossians as an extraordinary Christ-centered letter to us as well today. And Timothy and Paul are listed as the ones who are sending this letter, and so that's why he begins with, "We give thanks." We believe it's Paul and Timothy that he's speaking of. We always give thanks to God for you. When you begin a letter to someone with thanks for them, it changes the entire mood of that letter. It gives us something fresh and warm. It's encouraging when you give thanks for someone. And that's what Paul does. And some of our scholars believe that instead of going to Spain after he got out of prison, he went to Ephesus and then about 100 miles east into Colossae. So they believe he went back there. He had never, according to chapter 2, verse 1, never seen them face to face. "You've never met me personally," Paul said. But he had heard so many good things about them that he gave thanks. And that attitude of gratitude just changes everything. What he does is giving thanks for three Christian virtues. And virtues are moral qualities. I call these Christian graces. I believe Dr. Charles Ryrie calls this a triad of Christian graces: faith, hope, and love. And these are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:13, that the greatest of these is love. But there is faith, hope, and love. At the foundation of a church, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We need to have love for one another, filtered down through the Holy Spirit, who pours out his love into our hearts. And then we need to have a hope of everlasting life. And it's all very encouraging. But it's like a triangle or a triad of Christian virtues. And then from those spring other virtues. But in Colossians 3:14, it says that love binds it all together. And so we're one in the bond of love as a body of Christ, as a local church right here. Recently, my wife made a dessert that my mom likes, and I couldn't think of the name of it, so I started guessing the ingredients of this dessert. I said, "Does it have eggs in it?" "Yes, it has eggs in it." "Does it have nutmeg?" "Yes." "Does it have vanilla flavoring?" "Yes." I was trying to think of the name of that pudding, and I forgot the essential ingredient in rice pudding. And it's the same way. These three Christian graces are essential for a local church. You cannot please God without faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is? So if you would remember three words today out of this message, it is love each other. Let's love each other as brothers, as sisters in Christ. So upward direction, or their faith was in Christ Jesus. I say they, both Paul and Timothy. Timothy was a young mentored by the Apostle Paul, and we used the word discipled when I was growing up. My parents discipled me as a young Christian, and Timothy's grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice, discipled Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says that he grew wise in salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so it's our faith has to be in the right object. It can't be just faith or believe without an object. It's the object is Jesus Christ, or as Pastor Bill calls our Savior Jesus. And he is that. He's our Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we confess our faith in Jesus as Lord. Do you have assurance of your salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? I see a lot of nodding. Amen. Yeah. That's foundational. We don't want to do life without it. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, faith is by grace through faith that we are saved, and that is a gift from God, the faith to believe in him. Secondly, he speaks about this church, their love for all God's people. They understood the bond of love between all who are in Christ. And love is unselfish. When Nancy and I were celebrating 2 years after our 500th month of marriage, we went to a Weekend to Remember conference. And the main thing that came to me was we are to be unselfish in our love for our spouse. That we are to look for the highest good in the object of whom we love, which ultimately is God's will. So when you pray for God's best for a brother or sister in Christ, that's showing love. And it's tremendous to have that unselfish giving of yourself for another person. Pastor Dave, in his series at the Villagers class, calls this caring love. When it's God's love to us, it's his unfailing love. When it's our love to each other, it's that caring love shown in specific ways. And at the end of verse 8, Paul even indicates that their love was shown in the Spirit, or generated by the Holy Spirit. You can have a generator, but if it isn't plugged in, it does you no good. We can have the Holy Spirit indwelling in our hearts, but if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, plugged into the Holy Spirit, he does us no good in sharing that love with one another. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving unselfishly to another person. And they responded by giving out that love. In the Message by Eugene Peterson, Ephesians 5 verse 2 states, observe how Christ loved us. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. He died for us. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And that demonstrated God the Father's love for us. And Jesus indicated that the identifying mark by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so that's what we are to be known as, a church that loves one another. In our most recent Village Voice, it highlights some things that we're going to be doing in March, beginning in March, I believe the 19th on a Thursday, where the Oregon Food Bank and members of our community are going to be handing out food just out here and providing good fruits, vegetables, staple foods for the people of our community. That's wonderful. And that is a tremendous idea. Another one is a compassion clinic that we believe will begin in April and then conducted quarterly. But dental work, medical, eye care, various needs. Many of us don't have dental insurance, but we have people in the community who can come in, and probably the first 100 had better be the ones who will be served that way. But it's going to provide a wonderful need out of love from people in our East County, along cooperating with a couple other churches. So that brings me to number three, our hope that's laid up in heaven. That's looking forward to the future. They understood that there was an inheritance waiting for them in heaven. And Colossians 1:27, we believe, is our theme for this series, that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, our hope and of glory. And that future certainly is bright and glorious. When a person dies, they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that is a certainty. I have had conducted over 200 graveside funerals, memorial services, and the funeral director passed away. But he asked if I would read out of the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when we get rid of this tent, this body, we get to go and be with the Lord and forevermore. And what a wonderful hope that is, that we can talk about with each other. You know, that someday Christ is going to come back for us. Someday it would be wonderful to be all raptured together. But in the meantime, some of us are going to pass away. And that is a hope of eternal life that we have. Sometimes a person's brain gets scrambled near the end of their life, and they begin to have doubts about their salvation, and they need reassurance from the Bible that we can take God at his word. John 3:16 was the verse the Holy Spirit used to save me as a young boy. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I wanted to go to heaven when I died, and so that was a great reassurance for me to have that. We need to spread that good news to others. The scope of our hope is worldwide. It is to be spread or expanded, as Jim Whitehead had us pray this morning, that the gospel would expand. The true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for you, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and then he was raised from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen, which proves he rose, seen by Cephas, he was seen by the 12 or the apostles, he was seen by 500 others at one time. Tremendous support for the infallibility of our hope in Jesus Christ. Some of you came to our church from Living Hope. Living Hope Baptist Church. What a tremendous name. And our Living Hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Foundational. Faith, hope, and love. And we get to be the channels of those Christian graces. Upward, outward, and forward to the future. Epaphras was one of those channels of God's blessing into the church of Colossae. He was used to begin the church. He is called a beloved doulos. Doulos is the common word for a bond servant who is owned by a master. And what Paul is saying is he is a co-doulos, a colleague of mine who served the same master. We come under the authority and of Jesus Christ as the head of the church. And one of the lexicons said, the colleague of one who is Christ's servant in publishing the gospel worldwide, we would add. And that's what we are, is doulos, fellow servants, bond servants of Christ, voluntary love slaves of Jesus Christ. He's our owner, he's our master, he's our savior, our creator. We owe everything we have to him. We are told in Romans 13 that we're not to leave any debt outstanding except for that continuing debt to love one another. And so we have that opportunity along with Epaphras. He was a faithful minister of Christ on their behalf, just as many pastors since 1951 have been faithful servants of Christ here in our own church, Wood Village Baptist Church. He taught and modeled the faith. This past week on January 29th, Ponder with Pastor Bill has an article about a family circus comic strip where the little boy asked his dad to walk in smaller steps because he was walking evidently in the snow trying to catch the footprints. And Pastor Bill is asking us to walk smaller, that we can follow one another in the steps of Jesus Christ, following him as our Lord and Savior, our example, and the Lord of our life. He taught and modeled the faith, but then he also shared the good news of the gospel's impact. And that normally requires verbal, telling someone about the faith of Jesus Christ. There are missionaries who need our support, who need our prayers. Last summer, we were privileged to have all 8 missionary units here in our church. And I said to Pastor Bill, boy, that must have been the highlight of your year. And he said, it's the highlight of my ministry to have all our missionaries here. They're doing a tremendous work spreading the good news around the world. But we have the opportunity in our neighborhoods to do the same things. We give of ourselves to the will of God to share his good news with other people. That's an act of love, to share with a friend the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody shared that good news with us. We need to pass it on. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. It only takes sharing a word to present the gospel in all of its glory. In application, as we understand this bond of love that ties us together as a church, how can we demonstrate spirit-generated love with others? So I wrote down about a dozen ways that we could do that as a church. And this is all based on John 13, 34, 35 through about chapter 15, verse 17 in the Gospel of John, where we are told, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Giving of our lives for the gospel is one way of showing love. But other ways, how can we love each other in practical, everyday way? We can introduce someone to Christ, to the Lord Jesus. I'm a born-again believer because my mom and dad and others in the Bible club, Jan and Gail Goodrick, taught me God's word, and I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. So someone went out and taught me as a little child the good news about Christ. So those of you who are teaching children, youth, adults, it's a wonderful privilege to introduce someone to the Lord. We can spend time listening to each other. We call that a gift of time. You're giving unselfishly of your time. And there are some people who talk a lot, and they need someone to listen to them. And we can give love by listening to a person. We can text or call someone and just ask, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What's going on? We can greet a teenager with a smile and say, hey, Justin, are you going to Snow Bunny with the youth group this Saturday? You know, just be personal with each other. We can take a bowl of chicken noodle soup on a cold Monday tomorrow to someone who may be sick with a virus or just needs, you know, a pick-me-upper. We can take a friend grocery shopping and then pay for the groceries. You could take a coffee break and then have a heavenly blueberry apple fritter with it. This last week, my wife went grocery shopping. I asked her if she would rather me go grocery shopping instead of just playing dominoes with my sister and mom. And she said, no, I'll go grocery shopping. She comes back with a heavenly donut bag with my mom's favorite donut. And I'm not kidding, a delicious blueberry, a blueberry fritter. That is so good. If you've never had one, have it with a good cup of hot coffee and, man, you know, enjoy. Ask someone to come and join you. Okay. I am non-mechanical. My dad and I did not inherit that gene. Nancy's dad, however, is a jack of all trades. He's there in the back row. He came to celebrate communion with us. And when I married Nancy about 45 years ago next month, when he got to me, I did not know how to change the oil in the car. I did not know how to fix the brakes. I didn't know that Cadillac converter at the back of the engine was... I was expecting it to change my Malibu into a Cadillac, but it was a catalytic converter. And but you might be able to do something for a person's car that is ignorant, like me, about how to convert things in a car. Another thing you could do is home repair for a single person. Visit someone. There was a lady, Pam, that I took our church calendar to, and she says, Bert and Bev come to see me. And, you know, they really kind of keep me informed on what's going on at church. Well, that's wonderful. Bert came to visit my mom this last week, and we taught him how to play dominoes. He pretended he didn't know, and then he outscored all three of them. But that's... going to a person's home, just hanging out with one another. Maybe if it snows tomorrow, you could shovel the walkway out to the mailbox for someone. Happy Groundhog Day, by the way. Did he see his shadow? Yes, he did. I actually got to see Punxsutawney Phil last century, and he is pretty healthy. Wonderful. Okay, well, we might have 6 more weeks of winter. Another thing that you could do is pray for Pastor Bill's endurance for these next 2 months and pray that by God's grace he'll be able to be here in the pulpit for our Easter Sunday. God gives grace that is sufficient. My mom has a vehicle that she shared with a granddaughter this past month. And just, you know, that's another way you can just show love to someone, giving them transportation for an appointment. Share a good book with someone. Pastor Tom gave me a book, the one that he held up for us, although mine's a hardback, Superheroes Can't Save You. And last night I finished page 184 in the book. And after that, it's all indexed. But at the very end of page 184, it gives Colossians 1:15-20 as the key passage in the Bible for us, along with Philippians 2:1-11, of how to understand the person of Christ. 2 weeks from today, Pastor Tom will speak on that passage. And it is the focal passage on the person of Jesus Christ. It is vitally important. We can show love for one another. These are ideas that any of us can do, but we need to do it. And so let's love each other. Shall we pray? Father God, we bow humbly before you, thanking you for your love to us, shown through sending the Lord Jesus Christ, your one and only perfect Son, to die on Calvary's tree in our place. We thank you. And Lord, as you have filled us with your love for others, may you help us to imitate your example of being willing to give of ourselves, our time, our resources for your glory. Thank you for the worship teams of our church. May you minister through them and with Pastor Thomas, he leads us in communion at your table, Lord. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.